Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. A Yankee Doodle sweetheart, she's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. If it's Sunday night at 7 p.m., you must be listening to TPU Radio. I am your host, Jason Easley, and tonight's topic is the war in Iraq. With the 4th of July coming up, I thought it'd be appropriate to look at the war and see what's happened, give ourselves an update, and just to let you know, we may get through everything tonight, we may not. We're going to try to cover as much ground as we can as quickly as possible. So let me bring in George.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, George.
How are we?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, actually.
That's nice to know. Let's bring in Will.
Hello.
Hi, Will.
Hello, Will.
Hi, Jay. Hi, George.
Hello, Will.
How are
you
today?
Remember this show, Will? You used to be on it?
Yeah.
Sorry, Will.
Can I call you the right show?
We almost outsourced your position to a monkey who could play bingo. Almost. Okay, guys, the topic of the week is the war in Iraq. With the 4th of July coming up, I thought it would be kind of good to take a look and see what's going on because, let's face it, we don't get much news here in the U.S. about the war. Before I get to my questions, a couple of quick stats. These are biggies, the ones that are always in the news. The number of Americans wounded and killed, officially killed since the war began, 3,578. That was as of Saturday, yesterday. And the number of Americans wounded officially, 26,129. Now, the estimated number of wounded is between 23,000 and 100,000. The reason why the estimate varies so much from the official is the Army doesn't count mental illness as a battle wound. So, a couple more things. The UPI reports as many as 1 out of every 10 soldiers are treated for mental illness. And the number of Iraqis killed, it ranges between 66,807 and 73,120. The cost of the war thus far, and actual spent dollars, $439 billion. So I guess
wow.
My question, yeah. So I guess my question to each of you is first, was it worth it? Go ahead, George. I know you're itching.
I gotta say, like for everything that we went through, I don't think it was. I honestly don't think it was. It seemed like we have basically just put ourselves into an incredibly deep hole.
A deep hole financially, a deep hole.
A deep hole financially, a deep hole psychologically, definitely a deep hole emotionally. And
okay.
it really has got us to the point where we're not exact where, you know, like where we have our own citizens, born and raised citizens, that are kind of almost embarrassed about the fact that we got ourselves in this.
Okay, Will, what do you think? Worth it or not?
I'm going to have to say no. Basically, everything that George covered it, and we've gotten ourselves in a deep hole.
God, I missed you, Will.
yeah, Will's responded, yeah, what he said.
What he said, yeah. No, but we've gotten ourselves in a situation that, you know, how can we fix it? You know, that we've gotten ourselves in a hole that way. You know, how can we fix it to make everything come out smoothly? I don't know. I mean, this is going to go on for a long time.
I don't know if it can be fixed. That's the thing. You might be able to patch it up and let the Iraqis sort it out themselves. Maybe you can stabilize it, but fixing it is an entirely different question altogether. By the way, anybody who wants to join us, the phone number is 718-664-6734. Look at how I have it memorized now. And the AI, if you want to hit us up on Instant Messenger via AIM, it is CAPJ71. Yeah, I mean, now
you beat me.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have it all memorized now. You don't have to read it anymore. I've actually typed it enough that I know it. I actually dial it as my own phone number and give it out now. Now, as far as some other stuff goes, can you guys believe there is a fuel shortage in Iraq?
A fuel shortage?
A fuel shortage. They have to import gasoline from Iran.
That's almost comical.
Isn't it?
Considering
I mean,
it was just like we went in there, it's basically, there's no two ways about it. That was a primary factor of us going in there in the first place.
Right.
And now the fact that it's not there, that is equivalent to Geraldo opening up Capone's vault. That is basically like what's going on.
I remember watching that.
No.
All this build up and everything, we finally get, get through it, and now we're
bottles.
Running out.
Oh, now you got Will going. Now, it's okay, guys. Let me give you a number here. The domestic price of gasoline in Iraq at one time was 1.5 cents per liter. Makes sense. Second biggest oil field in the world, I believe. Of course, any cheap. The price of the imported fuel is 30 to 35 cents a liter.
Wow.
And we're thinking, well, gee, we'd love to pay 35 cents a liter for gasoline, but you have to look at the economy to scale. People in Iraq don't make nearly as much money as here in the U.S. So, whenever you're used to getting something for 1.5 cents a liter,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly it goes up to 30 cents because they haven't fixed the infrastructure appropriately so they can actually produce and refine their own oil to make gasoline and heating fuel and everything else they need. That's pretty mind-blowing.
Right.
Now, you guys are aware that the Bush administration is always touting the number of children in school. The reality is they have increased the number of children in school by 5.7%. The number nationwide in middle schools and high schools is up 27%. The number of Iraqi boys enrolled in high school in 2003 was 50%. Number of girls enrolled in 2004 was 35%. Here's the thing. By April 2007, the percentage of Iraq's 3.5 million students attending class was 30%. So they're enrolled
in school.
A lot of people playing hooky?
Yeah. It's
too dangerous to go to school.
So a lot of kids being left behind there.
Things blow up. Well, remember, No Child Left Behind is only here in the U.S. Apparently, as long as the kids are enrolled in Iraq, that's all this administration cares about.
Right.
Whether or not it's safe enough for them to actually go to school is a different story. But enough of the statistics. Okay, being late to the 4th of July, coming up Wednesday, is it patriotic to oppose the war? Loaded question. Will.
I don't think it is unpatriotic to oppose the war because the Constitution allows issues to be open to debate. So I really don't think that it is unpatriotic.
Let me ask you differently. Is dissent patriotic?
Is the what?
Is dissent patriotic in this case? Opposing the war, is that it goes both ways. Some people believe patriotism is supporting the war. Some people believe patriotism is opposing the war.
Right.
So can opposition to the war be just as patriotic as support of the war?
Yeah, you have to look from their point of view because they feel that the reason why they're opposing the war is because they're thinking about the betterment of the country.
Okay, so you're saying dissent can be just as patriotic as support. George, is it patriotic
to oppose
this war?
It is absolutely patriotic to oppose the war. Because basically, this goes right back to what I believe Mark Twain had said, when he said that a patriot is someone who defends his country and his government when they deserve it. And
when they deserve it.
Yeah, I think.
And you're saying right now they don't deserve it.
No, they don't deserve it. They basically just got us into this mess and then decided to talk to us like idiots in order to defend their position. And I don't approve of that at all. I don't approve of a government who thinks I'm stupid enough to buy what they're trying to sell me.
And I have to ask you, is the Iraq war related to the war on terror?
Well, it is now. considering what we did over there.
That's an excellent answer, you know. That really is. Okay, let me ask
for the first few weeks, it was not. Afterwards, yes, it was. Because once we broke down that barrier, then all of a sudden, we basically just kicked the door open and let anybody run in there. And that's basically all that we did. We basically took a country that was fairly unstable enough to begin with, but had some sort of a sense of structure, despite something that we would be opposed to over here, even though we have sound bites of Bush saying that, you know, like that a dictatorship would be fine as long as he were the dictator, which, you know, like is a wonderfully undoctored, like clip that, you know, that I'm surprised hasn't gotten as much airtime as he used to. But you have, you basically, take a situation and make it worse and allow terrorists to come in and get their spot in there. So yeah, now it is part of the war on terror.
Okay, well, let me give Will something to answer besides what he said. Well, originally, was this war a part of the war on terror?
I don't think so. I mean,
not from the very beginning.
I don't think from the very beginning. The only thing that the only evidence that I could think of was that Saddam Hussein. There were reports that Saddam Hussein was paying terrorists to do car bombs in Israel for he was paying them $25,000 to drive a car into Israel and blow it up. That's the only instance that I can think of that comes to mind. Other than that, I can't really tie it into 9/11.
Okay, now was Saddam a threat to the United States, either of you?
Would Saddam have attacked the United States?
Was he a threat?
No, I don't think so. He's somebody that that we had basically taken down back in the first Gulf War in a few days. And it was just that big bad military and everything. We just basically just slapped the hell out of them and that was it.
And then once we slapped the sanctions on, there was no rebuilding.
Basically.
For good or bad, whether that for humanitarian purposes and for military purposes. Because, a lot of tens and tens of thousands of kids died, hundreds of thousands of kids died during the time of the sanctions because of inability to get proper treatment. But also, it also basically left his military completely impotent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't gonna be a threat to anybody with the condition that the country was in,
right.
Which we didn't know. I don't think we really fully knew the extent of how bad things were in Iraq before we went there, because we had no intelligence.
Right.
we were using stuff as it came out after the war started. We were using stuff from right after the Gulf War and from 1995 to make our case for going to war this time.
It's absolutely asinine.
And you know what the worst part is? Nobody thought to ask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The media didn't think to ask. People didn't think to ask.
The media played right along with it. The media was, was basically just kind of, all that Bush and Cheney had to do was dangle that carrot of, ratings, and they just went right after it, like the tools that they are.
Yeah. I mean, it just...
President company excluded, of course.
It's one of those kind of deals where present company excluded. Yeah, I mean, I think originally, I remember sitting here originally watching this with my roommate, going, our government couldn't possibly be stupid enough to launch a war if they didn't have something. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking from the beginning, before they went in, I thought, well, they have to have something. They wouldn't possibly be stupid enough to launch an invasion of a country. This isn't a little island. This isn't, somewhere. This isn't going back into Haiti to clear up a civil war.
Especially a year before an election year.
Yeah, you would think they would be smart enough not to do that. But they weren't, and they thought they could get away with it. Now, guys, the last time we did one of these shows, one of my favorite statistics is... number of hours of electricity per day. Now, the national goal, the last time, I'm just going to run people, the national goal last time we did this, the stated national goal for Iraq by now, the national target, actually, I'm sorry, by July 1st, 2004, was 24 hours a day of electricity in the country. And in Baghdad, they wanted to have 10 to 12 hours of electricity a day at worst. As of May, because they don't have the June number yet, the country itself has 10.9 hours of electricity a day.
Hmm.
The city of Baghdad, the largest city in Iraq, has electricity for 5.6 hours a day.
That's really got to suck when people are watching their 24 DVDs.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I mean, it's just, you wonder why people turn towards the insurgency. And it's stuff like this.
Yeah.
They still are at about a fifth of capacity for clean water and sewage systems in Iraq and around Baghdad. But, I mean, things are always, in these national numbers, things are always worse in Baghdad because of the violence, because they can't get anything built, because they can't get anything done. But can you imagine what would happen if we were here in the United States and all of a sudden we were rationed to 5.6 hours of electricity a day?
We had a few hours over here on the Upper East Side of Manhattan where power went out because of the semi heat wave that's been going on, and it was like bedlam all over again from last year. It was just
now,
like, and that was
even worse.
A few hours.
okay. Now both of you guys, I'm assuming, work in environments where you're using electricity. Yeah, both of you. I know, especially Will is. Will's on the computer. Will's on the phone. Imagine. You get 5.6 hours of electricity a day, and you don't get to choose when they are. Imagine trying to work in that environment.
You can't get away.
Imagine trying to run a business.
You can't.
No.
I mean, yeah, not in the United States, but even in Iraq. What if you're just a shopkeeper? How are you going to stay open at night?
Ask Al Gore for some alternative motives.
Yeah, I mean, how, you know, it's, this is common sense stuff. And this is stuff that should have been priority one on the list after they invaded. They should have secured the borders and started rebuilding infrastructure.
Yeah.
But we were too busy basically handing out private contracts.
I think
What's that?
I think we were too busy waiting for the flowers that we're going
to
get.
Yeah, we were waiting for the flowers and all the fairies to come with us.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my political question. Okay, which politician do you trust the most to get us out of the war? I'm going to start with Will because I think I know George's answer.
Joe Biden.
Shut up, Will.
No, that's not my answer, but, you know, that's, to be honest, that's...
Will, you used to be on this show.
I was 1 second away from saying, yeah, what he said.
Well,
oh, boy, I'm going to need two new co-hosts.
No, but Joe Biden is most most knowledgeable on foreign affairs. And
okay, but who's your choice?
If you could get Wesley Clark in there, that would be...
Who's your choice to get us out of this war? If you had to pick one politician that you thought would definitely get us out, who would it be? Democrat or Republican?
Oh, me? I'm still on?
Oh, yeah, you.
Oh, okay.
I didn't fire you yet.
I'm sorry. I thought you turned it over to George. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. If you, George would still be talking if I threw it over to him.
It's going to be a two-word
answer.
That's basically my answer.
Would you pick Biden?
Joe Biden, yeah.
Okay.
And if he could fit Wesley Clark in there, because he would understand the military aspect of it, then that would be great.
Okay, George, I know this answer, but consider this your Joe Biden minute.
Well, it's actually a four-word answer. Yeah, what he said.
Okay. You still have about 55 seconds to kill on the Joe Biden minute. Come on, George, you're killing me here.
All right, simple thing. The man's got the plan. He's got details of that plan. He knows how to implement it. He knows what to do as soon as he gets the green light to do it. So, yes, Joe Biden.
I still think Joe Biden's going to be your next Secretary of State if a Democrat wins.
Oh, yeah.
I think anyone would be stupid not to put him in that position.
Yeah, he's not one of the big three, and it doesn't look like he's going to be one of the big three. But, you know, like if he can get the Secretary of State role, hey, let the man do what he does best.
My choice, personally, the politician I think that's most committed to getting us out of Iraq, besides Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, would be John Edwards out of the top tier candidates. I think Edwards would probably be the person most committed. I'll follow right up into my next question because I have plenty of more stuff on my mind. Who do you trust the least to get us out of Iraq?
Well, that's a no-brainer with me. to get us out of Iraq?
Yeah.
Oh, to get us out. Oh, Oh, gosh, you know.
Who do you trust the least?
Basically, out of the Democrats.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Every politician has said, we're going to get you out of Iraq, basically, in one way or another. Who do you think would be least likely to stick to their word?
That's a good question. Because I think
I know you got an answer for me.
Yeah, let me think on that one.
Okay, George, who do you distrust?
The guy that I kind of distrust right now, you know, like, it would be two guys. It would be John McCain, who is committed to this whole stay the course crap, and also Giuliani. I mean, Giuliani is, by linking Iraq to the war on terror, then that's keeping him more and more in the spotlight, because all he has to do is say 9/11 37 times, and there it is, and, you know, like, there's the support.
Do you think that he's doing that strictly to pander to the Bush support?
Least likely?
That he's trying to pander to the Bush support, Rudy, by going 9/11 Iraq.
Yeah.
But he has said nothing anywhere to hint that he would change the current policy.
Right.
And that makes me think, everyone assumes that Rudy Giuliani would change the current policy, but he hasn't said that he would. And he hasn't said he wouldn't, but let's face it, almost all the other Republicans that are out there, save John McCain, have hinted that there has to be an end to this at some point. You know, this isn't going to go on forever, and we think it's almost time to turn the country over to the people. I mean, they're not saying go have Iraq right now like the Democrats are, but the difference is shrinking more and more. The Republicans are like, we have to stay there for a while, stabilize the country, then leave. Democrats are like, we got to get out.
Yeah.
Now, out of the Democrats, who do you distrust?
Hmm.
Or do you think they're all the same down the line? Am I making a false assumption? Do you think they're all going to get us out of Iraq?
They're going to try to, I think.
They're going to try to do something to get us out of Iraq.
That's why I was a little bit stumbled on the question, but yeah, I mean, I think that all the Democrats are pretty much agreed on that one.
Do you trust Hillary on that?
I'm going to have to say yeah.
Because there's too much at stake if she doesn't?
Yeah. I think that the Clinton reputation would go down the tubes if she doesn't.
And this is pretty much the main issue for Democrats.
Right.
Next year.
And if she didn't, that would really severely put a blow to their reputation.
Yeah.
And
yeah. George, is there a Democrat that you distrust?
I actually Hillary's the only one that I don't 100% buy as somebody who will be able to get us out of Iraq, because I believe that there's definitely. A sort of like a very much like an us versus them sort of mentality that both Bill and Hillary have. We saw it, you know, like we saw it with when Bill went on Fox News. We see it, like, you know, all the time, you know, like with Hillary. We see it, you know, like we see her, you know, somebody that, you know, like would probably just kind of like blame the Republicans and everything for kind of stonewalling her progress on getting there and continuing to create that sort of diversity.
I have a question for you guys. 2008 election, because this kind of ties into Iraq. Which is more important, getting the Senate majority up to 60 so they can pass any legislation they want or more, 60 or more members, or winning the presidency? Either one of you can go.
I think getting the Congress, because then they have the power to override any vetoes. You know,
I would definitely agree with that. You know, like getting the Congress,
Which do you think is more likely to happen? Do you think or do you think they're both likely to happen? Do you think it's likely that the Democrats could pick up the 9 seats they need, being that the Republicans are defending 18 of, I believe, the 23 seats that are up, or are the Democrats more likely to win the White House and maybe just keep the Congress where it is?
I have a feeling that it's going to be more of the same.
It's going to be...
I just have this feeling that it's going to be, you know, like, yes, there's going to be a Democratic president, but they're not going to, you know, there's certain things that, there's certain issues that the Democrats are not going to be able to get across in 2008.
They're not going to have the majority of Congress to push it through.
Well, it just seems like the approval rating already, you know, like for Congress is once again in the toilet, and it just shows like a severe like lack of patience with the American.
How much
people.
Of that approval rating though relates to the fact that the Democrats tried to sold everybody last fall on their ending the war?
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to.
And that's
right.
The thing is, it's like there's going to be a severe. I have a feeling that, you know, like I don't see a huge amount of voters registering this, you know, like this time around. I don't think either side is given more any reason to bring new voters into the mix. And that's been the problem with the Democrats all along.
Are you making the assumption based on the fact that Hillary is the Democratic nominee and Fred Thompson or Giuliani is going to be the Republican nominee?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, it's getting to the point where that's going to wind up being the case. And
I mean, did you think, because Obama just raised $32.5 million in the second quarter and set the Democratic fundraising record for this quarter, do you think he's going to be able to make a dent? I mean, he actually outraised Hillary this time. Do either of you, yes or no, think he's going to be able to make a dent? Will. With all this money, is he going to catch up, yes or no?
I don't think so. He may pick up a few points, but I think Hillary and the empire that Hillary has is just too great.
George, yes or no? Even with all this money, because Obama has like $60 million now already this year, is he going to be able to catch Hillary?
He's definitely going to make her sweat, but she's got it. You know, like I really think she's going to wind up getting it.
Okay. Do you think how much of the future Iraq policy does much of it depend on who the Democratic nominee is, or is the policy pretty much universal throughout the Democratic Party that we got to get out? What do you guys think?
I think that the policy overall is pretty much we got to get out, and but you know, I don't know. It's just that's.
See, Will's really pessimistic about Hillary, and Will doesn't think Hillary can win in November.
Hey, I've still got my money on. I don't have my money, but I got my. I'm still hoping that John Edwards can win.
Yeah, I mean,
even though I like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I got to give George his happy news of the day. Joe Biden actually gained in the recent weekly Democratic poll. He's up to 4% now.
There you go. See.
He's tied with Bill Richardson for fourth.
All right, you're going down, Bill.
So, you know, he doesn't have much further to go, though. He did the big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only maybe. If he can gain another 10 points, he can make John Edwards sweat.
There you go.
But, okay, guys, we're down to the last 2 minutes this week. We're going to play the same game we played last time. When are the troops going to leave Iraq? Give me a year. George.
I'm thinking it's going to wind up being as late as 2015.
Okay. Will?
Between 2012-2015.
Okay. I'm much more optimistic. By 2010, the troops are gone. Because the new president will take office in January 29. I think by 2010, the troops are gone. George, it's time to pimp.
All right, all this month on Scene Anatomy 101, it is Harry Potter month to commemorate both Order of the Phoenix coming out and Deathly Hallows coming out in bookstores. All 4 weeks will be all four of the first four Harry Potter films.
And you can also catch George on Dateline to Catch a Predator sometime in August.
You've been waiting to do that.
I've been waiting to use that. Yeah, I have been. I was going to use this. Will having to prep for Dateline for Dateline to Catch a Predator while I wasn't here last week because he thinks because a pedophile stalking him. But you know, I didn't really have a chance to put that one in there. Will, anything for you to promote this week?
For historical purposes, today's July 1st, 2007, which is the 144th anniversary of the First Day Battle of Gettysburg.
Oh, okay, cool. That Will can give us our history fun fact of the day. And you guys know where to find me. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. That's it for the show. Boys, have a happy 4th of July. I'll see you both next Sunday. If anything relevant comes up, we might do a show later this week. But, hey, it's a holiday Wednesday. So, everybody, have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you, George. Thank you, Will. And goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.